his joy. And when we ask God for something according to his will, praise God, we must expect God to act on our request. Yes, how do I say that, praise God? I say it according to his will. I want you to put a verse of scripture upon the marquee, praise God, that I want everybody to look at. I don't want to make it think that it's in my Bible and not in yours, praise God. Put 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Look what John writes. He says, praise God, and this is the confidence that we have in him, talking about in our Lord, that if we ask anything according to his will, praise God, he hears us. Yes. That's if we ask anything according to his will, praise God, letting us know that he hears us, praise God, and if we know that he hears us. How many of y'all know that God hear you when you're praying? How many in here know that God hear you when you're praying? Yeah. Praise God. If you have that confidence, yes, that he hear you, yes, that he hear your prayers, then praise God. The next part of that scripture says, whatever we ask. Yeah. Again, guess what? He said that we know.
That we have the petition.
Amen. That we know. We have the petition. In other words, whatever it is that we request from him, if it's healing, praise God, ask him. If it's deliverance, praise God, ask him. If it's to bring back that wayward child, ask him. He's saying that if you have the confidence, especially if you praying according to his will, praise God, that he hears us. And not only will he hear us, that he would grant us, he would give us the petition of our heart. Yes. Praise God that we have the petition that we desire of him. Yes. So David expected God to restore his joy. But the last thing about this joy, the request was expressive. In other words, what I mean by this is that David knew that his joy was gone. David could not deny, amen, the reality of his condition and was able to express, praise God, his inner feelings. Look what verse 11 says. That's why it's good to walk through the text. Verse 11 says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, how many of y'all remember the late, great, praise God, B.B. King?
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on, y'all. Let me see the hand. B.B. King used to sing a song, Brother Lucas. I don't know if you remember. B.B. King used to sing a song that says, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. And I get the feeling that David sort of felt the same way. I don't know what thrill B.B. King was singing about, but I can tell you that David was to the point where the thrill of knowing God, praise God, had left him, and praise God, and he wanted it back, and he went to the one that he knew that can restore, praise God, that spiritual joy.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYGKQJO.
Awesome,
to redeem.
God
as evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further.
You were born
into the
manger.
I have not found the works perfect before God. Now, this is a church he's talking to, seven churches. And he said, I haven't found your work perfect before God. Saints of God, we don't want to hear that message. We don't want to have that message. We want to straighten up whilst it's time. Verse 3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and, you know, and repent. That's something we don't hear over the pulpit today. Repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know, you know, what hour I will come upon you. You're not going to know which hour he's coming. He said, now if you don't do this, if you don't watch, and if you don't pray, and if you don't repent, you ain't going to know when I'm coming upon you. Verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. We have a few people, he's saying, in Sardis, in that church, that have not soiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Don't you want to be worthy to walk with God, to walk with Jesus when he comes? He said, they're going to be worthy, and they'll walk with me in white. And white means perfect, clean, upright. Verse 5, listen at this. I want to take time to read this. He that overcometh, listen at this now. This is verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. So he's giving you an opportunity to overcome that thing that's dying in your life. You know, if you're not happy no more in the Lord, if you're not joyful no more in the Lord, if you're not pleasing no more in the Lord, if you're not full of joy and happiness and gladness when you hear the name of the Lord called, when you read the word of God, well, that stuff is dying in you. And if you're not happy no more, you know, you're in a bad place. He's giving you a chance, though, to get in that good place so that you could be clothed in white and white raiment. And he said, and I will not blot out his name out of the book. See, if you don't stop the dying now that's happening in your life, if you don't stop it now, then your name is going to be blotted out of the book of life. You won't get to wear the white clothes, the white raiment. And your name will be taken out of the book of life. Saints, that's a horrible thing if your name is taken out of the Lamb's book of life. You know? And they said, but I will confess you. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He said, now if you change and you stop this dying syndrome that you got here, where you're not happy with God no more, you don't love God no more. You've stopped your good works. You don't do the good works of God anymore. You've turned to the world. If you stop all that, then your name won't be blotted out. I'm going to confess you before my Father and before his angels. Saints of God, don't you hear how God and Jesus is trying to rectify the things that's gone wrong in these churches? He's showing us through these seven churches in Revelation how we can change and make a difference in our life so we don't have to die. Verse 6 says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto these churches. I'm telling you the same thing. If you have an ear to hear anything today, I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that church means you, because we are continuations of these churches. Some of everything that these seven churches had or didn't have that's operating or not operating in the churches today. That's why this lesson, that's why I'm talking to you about this, because there's so many parallels in what these churches did and what the churches now are doing. This church, it reflects the church today. I just said that. It is filled with Christians who have fallen asleep spiritually. This message in Revelation is the it's the one who find themselves in the sleep of death. It's to the ones who find themselves in a sleep of death. That's what this message in Revelation 3 is all about. You know? And if you find yourself in this sleep of death, then you know, you're just like that church in Sardis. You know? We have to read and take what God is saying to the churches. We have to take it and believe it and receive it and begin to act on it. And we're going to also read Luke 22, verse 45 and verse 46. And this is Jesus talking. And what he says in verse 45, and when he rose from prayer, Jesus, this is talking about Jesus, when he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were sorry. You know, he was telling them at that time that he had to go away. He was going to be taken up. He was going to have to die on the cross. And so they were sorry, and they were sorrowful, but they went to sleep. And verse 46 says, and he said unto them, why sleepeth ye? Rise and pray. You know? My God. Rise and pray. Lest ye enter into temptation. See, that's what happens to us when we go to sleep spiritually and our prayer life is dead. All kind of temptations will come. All kind of trials will come. All kind of troubles will come. So, saints of God, we're going to have to pay attention to what's going on and correct ourselves. The church of Sardis, it was located in a fertile valley of the Hamath River. The church is known, this is what the church is known for. It was a sleeping church. And they had a form of godliness, but they denied the real power of God. You know, how did they deny it? Through their hypocrisy. The church had a number of faults, you know? Even though a few of them, they were faithful. And God said that they would walk in that white robe with them. But most of them, you know, they were spiritually dead. Despite having a reputation. See, they just had a reputation of being spiritually alive. You know, there was no healing. There was no deliverance going on. No Holy Ghost filling the house and in the church. This is holy stuff. This is spiritual stuff that should be going on in the church. But it wasn't going on in the church of Sardis. We can see the signs of a dying church. You know, when church leaders is more concerned with boosting and boasting its own image. They want to boost it up and they want to boast their own image rather than God's. This is a terrible place. And but we see it. We see what the churches are doing right now. They're boosting and boasting their own images and what they want to do and how they want to do it. And they don't know where God is in all this. And we don't know. But when a church becomes usually, this is another thing. When a church becomes unusually concerned with, you know, with brands of their own, you know, their own growth and numbers of people just for membership sake rather than for souls for the kingdom and programs rather than the spiritual gifts God has put in his church, this is a sign of spiritual illness. The scripture is clear